If you are even just modeling for kids and they can see from across the room, hey, look, mom, dad, moms, dads, whoever it is, we are sitting down to budget once a month. We go into the grocery store with a grocery list and we buy only the things on that list. Even if they don't ask a question, they're seeing these behaviors being modeled, and that's teaching them personal finance.
Hey, this is Allison, and welcome to the Inspire Budget podcast, where we talk all things budgeting, debt, and saving money. Today, we are talking all about teenagers and money. I know that for many of us, talking about money with our parents was likely taboo. This might leave current parents completely unsure of how to have these money conversations with teens who, let's face it, likely think they know more than we do. Our guest today wants to help teens learn how to make smart money moves, reach their money goals, and keep learning about finance their whole lives. Rob Phelan is a high school financial educator, and he's on a mission to change how kids learn about money. Rob is the brain behind Fi Educator, where he creates resources for teachers to make finance fun and understandable. Plus, he's written several books for kids on money matters. We're going to chat about the best way to teach our teens about money, the surprising things he's learned from kids about finances, and the biggest money challenges they're facing. Let's dive in and invite Rob on the podcast. Hi, Rob. Welcome to the Inspire Budget podcast. I cannot wait to talk to you about managing money, or really helping teenagers to manage money. I'm so happy you're here.
Allison, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about it. I live with teenagers all the time in my classroom, and teaching about money is one of my favorite things to do. So we're going to have a great conversation today.
Great. So I want to get, before we dive into really practical strategies for anyone who is raising teens or teaching teens, I would love to hear your journey of how you became a high school financial educator and really what inspired you to focus on that age group.
So, I mean, from 3 years old, I knew I wanted to be a personal finance teacher. Said no one ever. I was like,
hold on. This is super specific. Like, my son at 3 years old, he wanted to be a Ninja Turtle. So
I was kind of like the teens I teach. I got into my senior year of high school, still really didn't know what I wanted to do. I ended up choosing education for the wrong reasons. There were three reasons. It was June, July, and August. And that was a terrible reason to choose a career. And the only reason I went with it was I had a lot of my extended family were teachers. I knew they could do it. I was like, okay, it doesn't sound that bad. I like working with kids. I used to do summer camps. I could do that. I could be a PE teacher. So I signed up to be a PE teacher. And fortunately, my college told me, well, actually, no, you can't just be a PE teacher because there's very few jobs in that area. So you need to have another subject too. And they gave me a list. And the only one that I really felt like somewhat comfortable doing was math. So I trained to be a math and phys ed teacher, which again was not what I pictured myself doing as, you know, a 16, 17 year old. Math was not what I saw in my future. I thought I was done when high school finished. But it ended up being the best, you know, accidental life decision ever, where I realized I love teaching. I love being in a classroom. I like math. I like the problem solving, the patterns, the strategy that goes with it. Everything that it kind of wasn't for me in high school, I started learning more about. And when I got into eventually teaching full time, this position opened up where we have a class called Contemporary Math, which is supposed to be a hybrid of math and money, like a financial algebra sort of thing. It's just a nice way of giving usually seniors an opportunity to do a math class that isn't going necessarily in the college direction, but more so in a life direction. And I inherited that class not knowing a thing about money. I, you know, had gotten through college, thankfully, with very little debt, mostly through a combination of luck and then landing a grad assistant position for my master's degree. So that was very fortunate, but I knew nothing about money. My future wife at the time was our money person in our household. And thankfully, she also shared, like, look, I don't want to be the only person in our household who knows about money. I would love for you to join me in this kind of decision-making process and help make decisions together as a family about what way we're going to do this, especially if we're getting married. So these two events, me becoming a financial teacher and my wife, both coincided around the same time. So I was like, okay, I better start learning about this stuff, and did the usual traditional path of like a Dave Ramsey for a while, graduated from that to be like, you know what, I want more about this financial independence idea. Found podcasts like Choose a Fi, Afford Anything, Stacking Benjamins. Those are my entry points. And I've never looked back since. I love teaching kids about personal finance. Like, it's not even just about money. It's not about wealth or all the things money can buy you. It's just the freedom that comes with having control of your finances, the lack of stress that it can bring into your life, the opportunities it opens up. Teens are kind of your the best audience ever to talk to about money because they haven't made the mistakes that most of us make in our 20s. They're a blank canvas usually when it comes to what decisions they could make. And if you can even change one teen's trajectory a little bit, I mean, it could mean millions of dollars by the time they hit their late 50s, 60s.
Wow. That's a really interesting way to look at it in terms of like the impact you're having is just even if you're impacting one teenager, how that can really just impact the economy, how it can impact the world. I want to know though, because I've taught elementary school and I would teach about money. It was actually in our standards here in Texas. And I feel like a lot of it just kind of went over their heads at that age because they're just like, meh, don't have to worry about it. I have other concerns. But I feel like you're right. Teenagers are the best age group. So I'm curious, does this ever open up really interesting conversations? Do they ever open up to you about maybe parents fighting at home about money or issues with money or really like misconceptions about money that they might have? Because I don't know, I guess like selfishly, I would want that if I was a teacher. I'd be like, open up, let's talk about just not just that, but the emotions around money. Does that ever happen in your classroom?
All too often.
Really?
Yes. So I guess teaching about money, you really do get an insight into what goes on behind closed doors that maybe you don't get as like a math or an English teacher. Like I will notice every time I start a new crop of students talking about money, there will be that handful, like maybe 10% of the classroom who are soaking in every single word you say. And you immediately start to realize there's a reason they're doing that. And because most teens, like your three-year-olds or your five-year-olds or whoever, they don't realize there is a need to learn about money yet. And there isn't this desire to soak up as much as possible. The ones who are soaking in usually have a reason to, and it's either financial hardship at home, you know, really bad experiences with, you know, parents mismanaging money. I've had students who are technically homeless, whose parents are either in prison or addicts or cannot manage money whatsoever. And they're essentially managing themselves. They're taking care of themselves. And you can tell that they are becoming very financially responsible very fast. So it's wonderful to impact those students. It's very sad to see how often it does happen. But what you were talking about with your younger kids is a problem that I think all of us teachers have. But in financial education, you kind of feel it as well, that there is this lack of recognition that there is an importance or a reason to learn about money. And part of my job is to convince kids that, hey, this is a problem. First off, here's how we fix that problem. And then here's the actions you need to take to make sure this is never a problem for you in the future.
Oh my gosh. I want to know, is this class you're teaching, is it only at your school? Are you in a private school? Is this a state, like a class that your state, wherever you are, requires for every high school? Because it seems like a life skills class that I think should be required for at least, I almost don't even want to say freshmen. I almost want to say juniors and seniors only.
Yeah, I think if you're going to hit one age group and you only get one shot at it, junior, seniors, I think make the most sense because they are that much older, closer to going out into the working world. Some are already working part-time and have money of their own to manage. I think you can do the most good at that age group for sure. If you have more scope, I mean, like if you live in New Jersey, they start their financial literacy curriculum as young as middle school. And like, that's awesome. I live in Maryland. So we are a state that has kind of it's called a silver status state. When you look at how Next Gen Personal Finance measures financial literacy across the country, there's gold, standard, silver, bronze, and so on. Silver is there's some financial literacy requirements. So students are required to take a half credit of financial literacy, but it can be embedded in a bunch of different courses. So they don't have to take a full class of personal finance. So most of my students are choosing to be here versus like they have to do it. And that's a hard part about it. Like it's not a mandated course, but it also means that the students signing up for it are typically that little bit more interested in doing it, which makes it feel a little bit better. I think we're up to half of the states in the US now have either a bill that has just been passed or is in the process of making personal finance a graduation requirement for an entire semester, which is awesome. I think it absolutely needs to happen, but I want to see it come all the way down to elementary school because you can start teaching kids about money as young as 3 years old. Like they can start understanding the basic concepts and you can start integrating it into your play, your conversations, the lessons you're teaching kids from a very young age. And that's what we're trying to do with my son. He's currently 4 and you know, he's a living experiment for me, I think, in terms of like, can you raise a financially literate kid from a very young age?
I think you can. And I love that your son is an experiment. Hopefully it has a good outcome. Yeah. I have a son who, by the time this comes out, will be 12. So nearly a teenager, and then also a 9-year-old. I feel like we've done a pretty decent job. We actually were just having a conversation last night at dinner, and my oldest son, he was asking me what does six figures mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm hearing six figures. So we were talking about it, and he said, well, how much money do you make? And I kind of paused because I was like, do I tell him? Do I not tell him? Like, I grew up in this idea of, no, you don't talk about that. That's rude.
Mind your business. Yeah.
Disrespect. Exactly. And I was like, I kind of looked at my husband. I said, is it okay if I tell him? He said, sure. I said, okay, I'm going to tell you guys how much money we make, but you can't go off and like tell your friends. But then I'm also like, but maybe they should be talking about it. So we do openly talk about that. And I think that's really important. So I do want you to share your expertise, since you have been doing this for a while. What, in your experience, are some effective strategies for teaching teenagers about money? Selfishly, I want to know, because I also want to get this right. So I guess my question is, what do you think is important to cover? And then how do we make them interested?
Yeah.
How do we get them engaged and it not just be this thing that goes over their head? Because I remember my mom wanting to talk to me about money, and I was like, mom, I'm not going to listen to what you say. Sorry, mom. So what do you have to say for all of this, since you're an expert in this?
I think one of the biggest ones you've already hit on, and that is the fact that you guys talk about it at home. So if your kid comes to you and they are curious about something, that you are willing to have a conversation with them, and you can feel comfortable sharing how much you make, or if you're still not comfortable with that, if it, like, that goes against your feelings, or you're afraid of it making it back to their schools and people being like, oh, well, they're rich or they have lots of money, and you don't want any of the backlash that comes from that, just come back with curiosity. Like, you know, I'm really curious, you know, why are you asking me that question? What is it you want to know about? Do you want to know if there's things we can afford? Do you want to know if we manage our money in a certain way? And you might actually get to the root of the question, which is probably way more valuable than just what the number was. They might actually want to know, like, are we poor? Are we rich? Are we in trouble financially? I've been hearing about this recession thing going on. Is that going to hurt us if this happens? And that could be what they're actually curious about. So one thing I want to see my students become comfortable with is just talking about money, that it's not this taboo thing. It doesn't have to strike up these fears or shameful or embarrassing feelings for us, that if you can just feel comfortable talking about money and asking questions about it, you're automatically going to make probably way better decisions in the future, because you're not hiding that to yourself when you do have something you're not sure about or a financial thing pop up and you're like, I need help.
Now I'm like, man, I wish I could go back to last night when my son was asking me those questions. And I'm going to do this tonight at mm-hmm. dinner. I'm making a note. I'm I'm committing to it. I'm going to say, why did you want to know that? What else do you want to know? To kind of get down to the real questions they have. Like you said, maybe there are some concerns. We also talk openly about my business and how my business works. And so that even adds in another layer of kind of like these complicated conversations. But if I'm going to sit down and say, okay, let's say that someone's listening and they say, I don't even know how, Rob, to even start this conversation. What if they're not coming to me? What if I want to start this conversation with my kids or with my teenager specifically, but I don't even know what to say or what to bring up? Can you kind of offer some like sentence starters or conversation starters for parents who want to do this, but feel really ill-equipped?
So I also wanted to highlight the other thing you just said, that you share about your business and the fact that you share. You're an open book-ish about what's going on in your personal life, in your business life. And if you are even just modeling for kids and they can see from across the room, hey, look, mom, dad, moms, dads, whoever it is, we are sitting down to budget once a month. We go into the grocery store with a grocery list and we buy only the things on that list. Even if they don't ask a question, they're seeing these behaviors being modeled, and that's teaching them personal finance. Like, my 4-year-old goes into the grocery store with me. He knows we've got a list. If it's not on the list, we don't get it. And fingers crossed, knock on every piece of wood around me, I have yet to have a tantrum in the grocery store for when he's like, I want something and we can't get it, because he knows we've made the decision before we went into the store about what we're getting. And we'll go into other stuff as well. But I also say, like, well, if you want to buy something that's not on our list, you can use your own money to do that. So we have a whole allowance system for letting him manage his own money. But just to kind of come back to what you're asking about, like, I'm not sure how to even start this conversation. Start by sharing what you're doing. Like, hey, this really cool thing happened to me in my business today. Or I've got this problem that I'm trying to work on and I'm not really sure how to solve it. You know, what do you think? What would you do? And see if they kind of engage with you in that way. And maybe sometimes talking about your problems or your questions will encourage their curiosity about their own ones. I love giving students the opportunity, or kids, teens, the opportunity to practice with money. So when we're thinking about parents, you know, we're recording this in early spring, but let's say this comes out early summer, you're listening to this during the summer, and we've got back to school coming up. Well, here's a really cool opportunity to be like, what's on your needs list? What do you need to go back to school? How much do we think that's roughly going to cost? How much do we want to spend in these areas? Okay, here is that amount of money. Your job is to get everything on that list and to try and make that money stretch. And if you can have money left over at the end, it's yours to keep. Because like you as a parent, you're like, I'm willing to spend this money anyway. If you want more than that, it's going to have to come out of your money. If you want less than that, you can do this cheaper, or you can be more frugal with it, or you actually realize some stuff is not a need, then by all means, you pocket the money and that's yours.
That is a really good idea. That's actually something my mom did, but I don't think we got to keep the money. She would give us a budgeted amount for back to school clothes. And I remember I was in sixth grade, or maybe I was in seventh grade. And my brother was in eighth grade. And we were at the mall, as you do in the early 2000s. And my brother said, "You're not going to buy something from Abercrombie and Fitch." And I was like, well, the shirts are like $40. And she only gave us this much money. Maybe it was $100 or $200 for back to school clothes. And I remember him saying, people are going to make fun of you. Like, if you don't have clothes from here, you're going to get made fun of. And I remember paying $40 for a long sleeve shirt. And I live in Houston, Texas, mind you, a long sleeve Abercrombie and Fitch shirt, because I felt like this peer pressure. And I remember wearing that shirt and being so regretful, like, oh, I could have gotten three shirts from somewhere else, like from Marshalls or Ross or Mervyn's. Does anyone remember Mervyn's? And I remember being so frustrated, but even there was a lesson in that. And I would not have learned that lesson had my mom not said, okay, you're in charge, buy what you need to buy. It's scary to hand that responsibility over, but I guess it's better if they fail with that versus than failing with like credit card debt, right?
Yes. And do you know Doug Norman and Carol Pittner from the financial independence community?
No.
So they're co-authors. They're a dad-daughter author duo. They brought out a book called Raising Your Money Savvy Family for Second Generation Financial Independence. It's a long book title, but Doug Norman, Carol Pittner, it's a great book for parents to read. And Doug paints this picture of, you know, what you want to do is hand your kid a $20 bill and know that they're probably going to light it on fire and run around the backyard with it. But they will learn the lesson of that was a bad idea to do. And they learn to do it with $20 instead of $20,000 on their first car. So the worst thing that could have happened in that scenario would have been like your mom to step in and say, no, you can't do that, Allison. That's a total waste of money, because that wouldn't have taught you the lesson. You needed to go through that experience, that regret. And really the parent's job would be to step in afterwards and be like, you know, how did you feel about that purchase? Would you still make that purchase again today if you could? What would you do differently? So you're there to kind of be this sort of reflective sage in the background that's going to offer, you know, just your thoughts, your questions. If they want your wisdom and advice, they can get it. But, you know, you're not dictating to them how to spend their money or what to do with it. You're just kind of asking them to reflect on what they did and would they do that again? And the idea is we want to learn with small amounts of money versus big. It's like my son he spent all of his saved up money, $32, on a Lego set last week. And, you know, he's four, so he's very, very proud of himself. He saved for like 8 weeks to get this thing. And afterwards, like, you know, how do you feel about that? And he's like, great, feel awesome. I've asked him a week later, how do you still feel about that purchase? Haven't really played with it that much. And I don't think he's got buyer's remorse yet. Kids don't really have that regret feeling just yet. But I think he's starting to realize, oh, I had to save a long time to buy this thing. And now I want something else and I don't have any money in my savings. I'm going to have to start again and wait for it and be patient for it. So I think that works really well with teens as well, is letting them experiment with their own money. If they're making income on the side, can you start putting them in charge of certain things like certain bills or things that they're going to buy for themselves, or give them a budget from your own finances? But handing over the keys of financial decision-making as early as possible to let them make mistakes, know that they're not going to get it right, and then just help them kind of see the wisdom in it afterwards.
Today's episode is brought to you by my Goodbye Debt Tracker. The Goodbye Debt Tracker is a tool I've designed to help you pay off debt fast. And the best part? It's completely free for you. Yes, you heard that right. You can go to inspiredbudget.com/goodbyedebt. That's all one word. inspiredbudget.com/goodbyedebt to get your free download. Let's be real here. Paying off debt is a must for anyone who wants to live a life free of financial stress. Paying off debt isn't about scrimping and saving every single penny, and it's not solely about boosting your income. Paying off debt boils down to having a plan for your money, a plan that empowers you to spend intentionally while still tackling debt head on. A plan that's realistic, allowing for treats like a relaxing pedicure or massage when you need it the most. The journey to becoming debt-free starts with a strategy, and my Goodbye Debt Tracker will help you find the strategy that suits you best. This isn't just another spreadsheet. It's a carefully crafted tool designed to provide you with the clarity, strategy, and motivation to eliminate your debt. So whether you're tracking credit card debt, student loans, or any other financial obligations, the Goodbye Debt Tracker is here to guide you every step of the way. So if you're ready to say goodbye to debt and hello to financial peace of mind, it's time to get your hands on the Goodbye Debt Tracker. Let's find the strategy that suits you best and kick debt to the curb for good. You can go to inspiredbudget.com/goodbyedebt to get your tracker for free, or just click the link in the show notes. I want to know, throughout your career of really truly working with these older high school kids, what has been the most surprising thing you've learned about how teenagers perceive money and what they think about it going into it?
Gosh, there's such a range. I think that's the biggest ones. Like, so many appreciate the value of a dollar. They can think of purchases in terms of, oh, I have to work 5 hours at my part-time job to be able to afford this, which is, I think, a very advanced level of thinking when it comes to money. Yes. And then some who have no concept of it whatsoever, like money has come very easily to them and their families are a little bit more well-off potentially. And the idea of spending $100 on something trivial is nothing. Like, oh, mom and dad will cover that. Like, why do I need to worry about this? And that's always an eye-opener every single time I see it on both ends of the spectrum, like how aware some are and how unaware some are. And trying to get all those kids under the same roof and get them to talk to each other. Because by doing that, they actually start to realize, oh, that's not what everyone's situation is here. And they can kind of learn a lot from each other in that way, which is, I think, one of the more valuable parts. I love when they learn from each other more than they learn from me.
What do you think are some of the biggest financial challenges that young adults are facing that maybe we can prepare our kids and our generation, our generations below us, to be able to face those challenges? I'm picturing my oldest son leaving the house and I'm kind of letting him go out into the world at the age of 18. And I'm thinking, what are the financial challenges he's going to be facing out there? And now that I know those financial challenges, let's kind of like backtrack and say, what can I do in my home to help prepare him for those? And I know, and I just want to add in here, I know there's no way to like fully prepare them, and I know we can try to prepare them and sometimes they don't listen. But if I'm going to try and I'm going to put forth the effort, what can I be doing to kind of deal with those challenges? So I guess starting with the challenges and then working backwards.
Yeah. Most generations graduating now are realizing more and more that the ease at which we can buy some of those bigger purchases is really getting harder. So like housing is a huge one, for example. The cost of rent, the cost of a mortgage is way higher percentage-wise compared to our starting salaries than it has been in the past. You know, we hear only a couple of generations ago, families could make do with one salary, one spouse potentially staying at home, still afford your vacation, afford your house, afford your cars or two cars, and it wasn't that hard. And I think now we have to be way more intentional with our money. We have to really think about what we can and can't afford, prioritizing how we spend money. So that's the skill I'm really focusing on with my students is how do we make prioritization decisions about how we spend money? How do we be intentional about budgeting and making sure that we get the things we really want and need and make us happy and saying no to the things that don't so that we have enough to go around? And you did an episode recently on this about making saving a priority. And I'm like, that's exactly what we need to do at this age is kind of help kids realize that saving does need to be part of what we do, that it's not just about spending all this money you make on the side. You should be saving some of it. And those different savings categories that we need to have. So the emergency funds, the future fund expense, the unexpected stuff that pops up, the sinking funds for those things that you know are coming around. And if we can get kids in that habit, I think that sets them up to kind of solve the hopefully the housing problem a little bit. The other one is college and career choice. And college costs have skyrocketed just as much as housing has. And trying to, it's not about not going to college or going to college. I think it's about just making the best return on investment decision for your career. So if a kid wants to go to college, I say, great, let's find out how we get the degree you need as cheaply as possible, or at least in a way that's going to be the most value to you as possible. If you want to learn certain skills or you want to do a certain career path, do you actually need college for that? Or can we do some alternative programs that get you the same end result? If you don't want to go to college, awesome. But how do we get the salary that you're going to earn to be as high as possible? What certifications can you do? What extra education can you do? How do you negotiate for salary or for starting income? And if we can prepare kids for those kinds of decisions, I think, again, we really start to prepare them for kind of value-based decision-making that avoids debt, avoids things that are going to be too expensive for what you get out of it. And I think if we got both of those things right, my goodness, we'd all be on a great path for the future. We can talk about investing too, I suppose. Like, let's get our money to grow faster than inflation eats away at it. But I would say
that
those
spending. That's like, that can be complicated. And that's, I feel like that's like the next step. If we can get the foundation, then investing will be easy to understand. I also think when you were talking about, especially with the price of college, it even starts at the beginning of high school when you're thinking, okay, what dual credit classes are available to me? So that way we can get some of those college classes under our belt at a much more affordable cost, typically whenever they're dual credit or even AP, like testing out of classes. I never did that because I'm not the best test taker. So I didn't do that. But my brother was able to really test out of a significant amount of his kind of basic classes, which really brought down the cost of his college overall. Okay, so I would love for us to leave our listeners with just a couple of tips, 2 to 3 tips for anyone with teens or soon to be teenagers like me when it comes to just helping our kids learn how to manage money responsibly. Let's just say if I were to do 3 things in the next 6 months with my kids, can you give me maybe 3 things I can try doing? Or for anyone listening, what they can try doing to just really start building that foundation for people with teenagers.
Okay, so teenagers. The things that the overarching themes, and this has come up with, for our conversation already, we want to get kids thinking about that there is a need to learn about money. So inviting them into conversations, letting them see the challenges you are facing as an adult and what they can do to maybe avoid that, or putting them in situations where they are now managing their bills. Let them get into trouble. Let them figure it out with small amounts of money. So let them just start experiencing and learning that, hey, I do need to start learning about money. Second one would be the conversation side of things. So inviting them to have conversations. If you are doing budgeting meetings as a family, invite them to be part of that. If you're not doing that, maybe consider starting it. Either this is your invitation to start budgeting or to just start having those conversations out loud and ask for their input. You know, what do you want to put money towards? Oh, you want to buy this thing? Well, that means we can't afford to do this vacation later or whatever it is, and let them be a part of that decision-making process for the household. And then I would say the last one is giving them the opportunity to practice. So giving them the small budgets, letting them try and make value-based decisions about what they're buying and try and make it like a challenging budget, like not something easy where it's like, here's $100 to go buy a t-shirt. Like that's a little too easy. Like how about here's $15 to go buy a t-shirt and, or here's $30 to go buy an outfit for school. Like something that's going to really make them have to think about what they're buying and how they're going to prioritize the parts of that purchase or purchases that they're doing. So yeah, I think those themes are what I would stick to. I wouldn't go with specific strategies. If you're looking for like more generic stuff, I would say if they're into social media, can we start encouraging them to follow people that are going to be a positive influence on them and with their money? So, you know, who do we like to follow? Allison, you'll actually be surprised to know that one of my students said that she was a follower of yours before we even had this podcast interview. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to Allison next week. Yeah. So shout out to Mackenzie for that one. She's already following you and doing those things like surrounding herself with people that are a positive influence with money, as opposed to like, hey, spend on all these different trends that are going on right now. If they like YouTube, subscribe to different YouTube channels, different social media platforms, same kind of idea. If it's books, there are tons of great books out there. If it's a teen who wants to read a book, I love First to a Million by Dan Cheeks. I think that's a really great one for just like, you've got a, probably like a sophomore in high school, and it's a blueprint for each year. These are the things that you should be thinking about or doing or actions you should be taking. If you're a parent, I already mentioned Doug and Carol's book is a great one. Clifton Corbin's got a great one. Your Kids, Their Money. It's another just kind of blueprint for parents. Like, here's some things you can do to help teach your younger kids about money. If you've got very young kids, like my four-year-old, get some kids' books in your houses about like different money concepts. It doesn't have to be a textbook about money. Like, we're talking about stories that involve it. Get down on the floor and play with your kids when they start bringing up like, let's play shop or let's play whatever it is that could have a money theme to it, and see, can you start encouraging that part of the play to come out with teens? I'm trying to think, is there anything else that I would do with teens that's super fun? Have them start a business.
You know what I would do? Start a business.
Yes.
I love it. You know what? My son really wants to edit my podcast. Ooh. So he is in sixth grade, 12 years old. And he's like, I want you to pay me, because I actually pay my husband to edit my podcast. He's a contract employee for my business. And my son wants to do that. And I'm like, okay, you're going to have to learn some skills. Like, if you want to get to that point, you have to really have good skills and learn how to do that. But I think a big one is food, giving teenagers money and saying, okay, we're going out to eat as a family. Mm-hmm. We can only spend this much money. Like, we can only spend $100 out at this Mexican restaurant. Can you, including tip, can you help us like decide what we can eat and what we can drink to be able to kind of stay within that amount? And then maybe they're like, oh my gosh, this soda is $4 and I could get it at home, can out of the fridge. So we're just all like, let's have water. Let's have water this time. I think even just that is really a really good way to say like, okay, you're in charge of helping make sure that we're under this amount.
Or meal planning for the week is a great one too. It's like, here's a week, you need to cover 21 meals, so 3 meals a day times 7. Make a plan, list out the ingredients you need to get. Let's go to the grocery store, or let's go online even better and just like go onto like an Instacart and see how much the shop will cost. Oh, it's $500. You need to take some of the steak off of the menu. And we, you know, we do this in class, and the first time they do it, they like, it blows their minds how much food costs. And I'm like, okay, let's start trying to think now, how do you reduce food costs? So they do bulk meals. They take some of the meats out and replace it with vegetarian options. They make staples like beans, rice, that sort of stuff. And they start learning very quickly, okay, here's how I manage a food budget. I love that your son is asking about editing a podcast. Like, we just started a business project in my classroom, and I have like 43 new businesses all starting. Kids are all trying to make a profit, and they're all doing different things that interest and excite them. And that's fun to just let them go. And most of them will probably not make money from it. And that's okay, because we want them to learn what works, what doesn't work, how to make your own decisions. And kind of like, you know, as a business owner, the power to create your own income is so powerful when it comes to personal finance. Like, you don't have to wait for an employer to pay you. You can go create your own money. And the sooner that a kid starts asking you for money, start giving them opportunities to earn it. Say like, either we've got a chores list if that's your thing, or here's an allowance that we're going to let you have, or go start a business. Like, here's some ideas. You want to edit a podcast? How about you start your own podcast first? Show me your editing skills, and then we'll let you step up and edit my one.
I used to pay a teenager. She was, I think, a junior in high school to edit all of my Instagram reels. Mm. And I had her for about 6 months. I was paying her $500 a month.
Wow.
And I would send her the raw video, and she would send it back to me with like all the quick cuts and the things that zoom in and everything. And I'm like, this is a skill that many teens have that as a business owner, I don't feel like dealing with it. It's too tedious for me to deal with. It's not in my skill set. So I'd rather just hire it out. And I think that's where my son got that idea. And then he was like, I can do your podcast, Mom. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to teach you how to do this. Actually, I don't even know how to do it. My husband's going to have to teach him. So we, and that is something that we're definitely interested in doing. And actually having that business allows me to kind of provide those other opportunities for him. But This has been so great, Rob. I've really enjoyed it. I know that our listeners are walking away with some, hopefully their eyes are open and how they can help guide their kids and teens to just be more open and be willing to talk about money. Because I definitely think for me growing up, I don't know for you, it was definitely something that was taboo. We don't talk about it. And I feel like that led me to just not really have a lot of confidence when it comes to money as a young adult. I would love for our listeners to learn more about where they can find you and connect with you. Can you fill us in on where we can get more Rob?
Sure. So you can find me on social media at Fi Educator. So that's Fi Educator, and that's on Instagram and Facebook. If you want to reach out to me, it's thefieducator@gmail.com. And yeah, I would love to talk more with you about this. I love talking about this topic. And like most people in the personal finance community, we just love helping people learn more about this. So if you have questions, please send them our way.
Yes. And I will link to your social media and your email down in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us. I know that this episode is going to be a big one for people, that they're going to love it. And if you're listening and you know someone who has a teen and wants to talk to them about money, please share this with them. We want as many people to hear it as possible.
Thanks so much, Allison.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Inspire Budget Podcast. Can you do me a favor? I bet you know someone who has a teenager or a soon-to-be teenager. Can you please grab the link to this episode or just share it with them, whether it's by text or on social media? Because I would love for more parents that have teenagers to listen to this episode. I think that it can really help just guide them and give them ways to have these conversations about money with their children. I would really appreciate it. I'll be back next week on Thursday with another brand new episode. I'll talk to you then.